For many of us, our days are chock-a-block with emails, texts, meetings and appointments, traffic and phone calls. Sometimes all this hustle and bustle can disguise the fact that Australia is in the middle of a loneliness pandemic. Anyone can feel lonely, but for first-time parents living away from family, the lack of community support can hit extra hard. Today on Australia Wide, we meet a Queensland mother who tried to tackle the loneliness by putting out a call for an adoptee grandparent. And she has no shortage of takers.
Having all of those messages of support and all these people reaching out was just a light that, you know, there are good people out there still.
I'm Gianfranco Di Giovanni. This is Australia Wide, coming to you from Whadjuk Country, Perth. Australia's School of the Air program has to be one of the biggest classrooms in the world. Covering 1.3 million square kilometres, this unique online program allows kids to continue their education while staying on the land. And, as Lily McCure reports, this remote schooling often happens with the help of a governess.
Many bush kids in Australia who live miles away from the nearest town attend School of the Air, a virtual classroom that takes place at the homestead. To help the kids stay on track, governesses, who are often female, are employed to facilitate classes and to make sure children attend their lessons. 30 years ago, Michelle Williams was one of those governesses living on a property near Whitecliffs in far west New South Wales. Now, she's back, helping the same family a generation apart.
Oh, I'm a teacher actually from South Australia, and last year I was up in the Northern Territory teaching in an Aboriginal community. So yeah, my husband and I have travelled here together. He's working as a station hand and I'm the governess. We love remote living and we love the bush and just the experience and the fact that I knew the family, I think, and I know they're such a gorgeous family and I wanted to support them to raise their children and give their children a really good education, because I know that's important to them, and being a qualified teacher, being able to bring that extra knowledge to support their children's education, I think is important to them, so I wanted to support them in that.
Gaining a range of teaching experience in the time between, Michelle says that being a governess now is very different from when she was in the role 30 years ago.
It was basically everything turned up in a box and you just had like a booklet for English and a booklet for maths and whatever, and there was just VHF radios, so you had to get on. I think he only got on like three or four times a week, and you know, he had to do his call sign, you know, David Brown at Rihola Station, over. And then the teacher would come on and say his name's the only one person could speak at a time, so we'd have to go around to each child, you know, around the district. So that was very funny. And if you missed it, it was too late, you know. So very old school. But the teacher would come out and stay with the family once a term and things like that. We didn't come into town anywhere near as much as they do now to catch up with the other kids either. So it's much, much more social now for the kids. Obviously, there was no such thing as computers back then. So there was nothing like that. So now it's all much more online. Obviously, they do still send out work, but it's different, much more hands-on and a lot more vibrant.
Merle Flenzel has travelled from Germany to become a governess. Having studied teaching in Cologne, Germany, Merle wanted to see Outback Australia while gaining professional experience. 3 weeks in, and she's very happy with her decision.
I love the Outback life, even though it's like kind of like in the middle of nowhere, of course, but especially this week, I get to know a lot of people and I love it.
What have you found about the people out here?
Honestly, it's so much different than in Germany or anywhere else. The people are just so open and friendly and open-minded and just always have a smile on their faces. So that's what I really enjoy, and I feel like I want to stay here.
And so you're going to be working with a family on a station. How far is that from Broken Hill, and what sort of stuff are you going to be doing?
So the station is actually only an hour away from Broken Hill, so that's pretty close in comparison to other stations that I've heard of. Yeah, and I'm just going to be teaching the kids in the classroom at home and helping out with, you know, looking after the kids and stuff.
And how long will you be staying out here for, do you think?
So I've only planned to stay here for 4 months, but I'm already planning to extend my stay because it doesn't feel like long enough. So probably for like 2 terms, or we'll see what happens.
And any other things, like outside of your work on the station, what else are you sort of looking forward to about living out here?
So I'm really excited to like meet up with the govies that I just met in this week, for example, oh, just go for, you know, a couple of drives around. And I've seen so many kangaroos and I'm so excited because I've never seen them anywhere else, you know. So I'm excited about the wildlife, all the sunsets, just a nice time also with the family.
How do you go about explaining where you are to your friends and family back in Germany? Is it pretty sort of hard to describe?
I think, like, even when I tell them I'm in the outback, they're like, what is the outback? Like, and I'm like, okay, it's just in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just so amazing. And people, like, keep asking me, like, why I'm even doing it because it's so isolated. But I just don't even know how to explain it, but it's such an amazing experience and I wouldn't change it for the world, you know?
Governess Merla Flensel, ending that story from Lily McCure in Outback, New South Wales.
You're listening to ABC Australia Wide.
Maryborough in regional Victoria is a town of beautiful heritage buildings and a close-knit community built around connection. Unfortunately, it's also one of the state's most disadvantaged towns. Similarly to much of rural Australia, health and socioeconomic outcomes in Maryborough are disproportionately low compared to the rest of Victoria. And as you can imagine, this has some residents concerned, particularly as the local pool has been closed all summer and now one of the town's only gyms could be turned into a bottle shop. Locals are pushing for change. They say a lack of funding combined with too much bureaucratic red tape means it's no easy task. From regional Victoria, Tyrone Dalton has this report.
Hitting the gym is a daily routine for 24-year-old Jack Cocking, but that could soon disappear.
So it would be devastating to me. It's a bit of a trigger to go backwards, and I'm worried that my mental health will go a bit of a downward spiral.
He credits the No Limits 24/7 gym in Maryborough for saving him.
Yeah, if I could say to myself 5 years ago, you're going to be fine.
Now the gym is facing eviction by Aldi supermarkets to make way for a Harry Brown liquor store, and it's got residents and the gym's owner, Ben Wintle, baffled.
Clearly, no one in the community wants another bottle shop. There's no need for it. Over the past 11 years, I have seen so many people come in depressed, overweight, just looking for something to do in a small town like Maryborough, and you know, I've seen them change their life.
Victorian Health Department statistics show 65% of Maryborough's residents are overweight or obese, and Rural Councils Victoria says continuous underfunding of local government means they can't fix the problem. Here's its chair and mayor of the Southern Grampians Shire in rural Victoria, Marianne Brown.
We don't have high sources of, say, parking revenue or even other fees that we can charge, and yet our communities expect us to deliver services, whether it's outdoor swimming pools, performing arts centres, maternal and child health, libraries. There's a whole range of services that councils provide, and there is a real financial squeeze on.
Maryborough is one of the most disadvantaged areas in Victoria, with high rates of long-term illness and obesity. Professor Colin Bell is a public health expert from the School of Medicine at Deakin University. He says the behaviours and habits that lead to poorer health are more common in regional communities, but so is the lack of infrastructure that can help people lead healthy lives.
Availability of fresh and healthy foods is lower. The more rural you go, the access to opportunities for physical activity can diminish as well. We've done some work looking at proximity to coastlines or lakes, for example, and you tend to find higher levels of physical activity for children in those areas. Opportunities for physical activity to be able to get out, whether that's walking or cycling to work or school, for example, or in your leisure time, being able to swim, they really matter.
And he says local governments need to have the power to be able to make decisions based on public health measures.
I think the shire that Maryborough sits in has a great municipal public health and wellbeing plan, and they have quite a strong focus on reducing alcohol-related harm. In the UK, for example, you can deploy planning decisions based on the health of the public in that area. We don't have as much power as that at an LGA level in Australia, and I think that needs to change so that we can empower communities to make decisions along these lines, more in line with public health.
And in Maryborough, it's not just the gym goers that are affected. The town's swimming club will soon be a team without a pool. The outdoor pool is falling into disrepair as council seeks $8 million to fix it up. The town's only indoor pool will also close for 3 months for retiling. Here's the swimming club's president, Heidi Bennett.
It's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. We were told as a swimming club that the outdoor pool would be open in 4 to 5 years, and the end of this year will be our 4 years. Their passion is swimming and they can't pursue their swimming because there's just not the facilities.
And she says it could have wider repercussions for the town's residents.
We live in rural Victoria. We have dams, we have creeks, we have waterways, and potentially we're creating a generation that won't know how to swim. It affects everybody in the community.
The Central Goldfields Shire's Mayor, Lisbeth Long, says the council is grappling with a lack of funding across the board.
There's a huge inequality between regional and metropolitan, and there's some terrible, terrible statistics. And this is not just Central Goldfields Shire or Maribyrnong, this is everywhere.
She says the town has many big issues to deal with, including the legacy of intergenerational disadvantage and unemployment.
Like, that's the biggest thing. I mean, Maribyrnong has so many issues with family violence and substance abuse. So do we allow another liquor venue knowing that we have these problems in our shire? And that's sort of the emotive part.
Councillor Long says the bottle shop permit puts councillors in a tough position.
The fact that it's a gym is not irrelevant, but it's the liquor application that we are deciding on.
Within 200 metres of the No Limits gym, there are 4 liquor licences. Increase that distance to 500 metres and the number of liquor licences grows to 18. Here's Ben Wintle again.
Our concern is it's going to come down to something in their planning scheme as opposed to our community's wishes.
Joe Butler runs another gym, Fitter Faster Fitness and Nutrition in Maryborough, and vies for the same people to be customers as Ben Winfield does. She's putting competition aside for the sake of the town's health.
The health, mental and physical health of the residents of Maryborough and surrounds is just so important and so much bigger than, you know, anything that Ben and I can compete about or anything like that.
Liquor store applicant Gurpreet Kaur didn't respond to the ABC's request for comment, and Aldi wouldn't publicly comment on the matter. Here's Ben Wintle again.
You can't miss buying alcohol. You can go to the local cinema and buy alcohol. You can go to the local cafe and buy alcohol. There's takeaway alcohol everywhere. There's no shortage of alcohol.
The planning permit goes to the council next Tuesday, where councillors will have to decide on the health of their residents versus a new business opportunity.
We need places to exercise and to work on our mental health. Alcohol doesn't help that.
That was Ben Wintle, the owner of the No Limits 24/7 gym in Maryborough, finishing that report by Tyrone Dalton.
This is ABC Australia Wide.
There's growing evidence that intergenerational relationships are positive for both young and old alike. But if you've ever lived far away from family, with no grandparents or grandkids around, how can you foster that connection? Well, one Queensland mother decided to take matters into her own hands by adopting a grandparent. And now she's encouraging other parents in similar situations to do the same. From the Gold Coast, reporter Madeline Cross has this story.
When Nina Peterson's first child was just 5 months old, the new mother felt a strong sense of loneliness. Based in Mudjerabar with her partner and daughter, she struggled to ease that feeling of isolation.
I was feeling quite lonely after having my baby. My family lived very far away. My partner has got no family left, unfortunately. I was just feeling quite lonely and, you know, being a new mum didn't really have anyone around for support or anyone to talk to. So I reached out to my local Facebook group and just asked for anyone if they wanted to be an adoptive grandma for me and my baby, because, you know, it takes a village to raise children and it's sad having to do it on your own when, you know, you've got no one around you. So I reached out and I had an abundance of people message and, you know, give support and all of that type of stuff. And I ended up meeting up with about 6 ladies, 3 whom I still talk to, and one of them is actually who's here with me today is Christine, and she has become our adoptive grandma. I didn't expect that many people to, you know, like it and comment and show support and say, you know, if you ever need to chat, I'm here. Like, the world just seems so cold at the moment, and having all of those messages of support and all these people reaching out was just a light that, you know, there are good people out there still. So they're just, you know, hiding in the background sometimes, I guess. And I kind of just wanted someone You know, who was missing out on that because they didn't have any grandchildren. And Christine was one of them. She's got three beautiful daughters. None of them have children yet or in the future. But at least, you know, she's got a little adoptive granddaughter now. So, you know, it brings her joy just as much as it brings me and Millie joy. It's made quite a difference, actually, because I know that if Christine's able, she could, you know, she can come shopping with us like we have done. And it's nice just to be able to walk around the shops, you know, with somebody and, you know, have that connection and talk. And, you know, I know that in the future, if I ever need to go to an appointment with Millie or something, I can call on her to come with me if I'm a bit frightened or, you know, unsure of that. It gives me peace knowing that I have got somebody now who I can call upon. Because when you don't have anyone, it's quite scary and it gets quite upsetting.
Nina and Millie's new adopted grandma is 61-year-old Christine Arnott, who also lives in Mudjerabar. 6 months since meeting, she's now Nanny Christine and sees the Peterson family every week.
Absolutely fallen in love with Millie. She's beautiful. And Nina, they're a beautiful family. Even though I didn't know her at the time, I just thought this amazing young mum is brave enough to seek out support. So I'm going to be brave enough and respond. They literally live around the corner from me. So I feel like, you know, if ever Nina got sick or Matt got sick, I feel like I could like be of practical assistance as well. Like if they needed that extra pair of hands or something was going on or whatever, I'm literally around the corner. I love seeing children develop. So watching Nina as a mum with Millie is also really beautiful.
Griffith University Professor Annika Fitzgerald has worked in intergenerational practice for more than a decade and was also involved in the ABC series Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. She said there was a growing need for intergenerational relationships.
It is incredibly important to understand that in addition to a COVID pandemic, we're actually in the middle of a loneliness pandemic as well. Most of our older adults live at home and out in the community, and that's where the loneliness is mostly prevalent. Of course, with the aging population, this can only get worse, and doing something about loneliness is a brilliant way of combating it. When you put older and younger people together, it's not just their eyes that lit up, but it's their brain that lights up. So it's a huge opportunity to actually create a really positive outcome for society at large.
It's also a responsibility that neither woman takes lightly. They're urging anyone considering it to do the necessary blue card and security checks.
It's obviously a scary world out there, so you have to be careful. And it took a while for me to be able to even put a post up like that, but I'm thankful that I did.
Even though Nina, you know, was trusting, I still think it's important to make sure you have like a blue card or, you know, something, because we are talking about our most vulnerable little humans. If someone in your community is asking for a bit of help, yeah, definitely would encourage it. And you get more out of it than what you give. That's 100%. I get definitely a lot more out of it than what I ever give to this situation. She brings me so much joy. It's crazy.
Thanks to reporter Madeline Cross for that story from the Gold Coast. You're listening to Australia Wide. My name is Gianfranco Di Giovanni, in for Sinead Mangan today.
ABC Australia Wide.
And finally today on Australia Wide, supporting a child with autism can be challenging. For 11-year-old Jamal Ali, building up his communication skills has been a big journey. When he started school, he was non-verbal, but he's now in year 6 and has been named the school captain at Toronto Public School. Our reporter Keely Johnson has this story from Newcastle in New South Wales.
Nothing can hold back 11-year-old Jamal Ali. He is a caring and confident student, but it's been a long journey to get where he is today. Jamal's mother, Shanna Ali, started noticing signs of autism with Jamal when he was just 18 months old. He was officially diagnosed when he was 6.
And so we started the process. Back then it was something that was across a few different disciplines of therapy. So it had a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, and after a few years added into a psychologist.
Before starting school, Jamal was essentially non-verbal with very limited speech.
So he had a few sort of, clear words, but one thing that would happen was if he give us a new word, he'd take one away and withhold it and just focus on learning one word at a time. And so something that sort of, continued until he started school.
Shanna says she worried for her son and how he would cope at school.
Yeah, that was a big concern when he started school, and just around finishing kindergarten and being able to communicate his needs. And that's just simple things like, I need to go to the toilet, how to engage in play with his friends in the playground. So they were, concerns that we had.
But over the years, with support from his teachers and family, along with speech and occupational therapy sessions, Jamal has thrived. Now in year six, he has been named school captain of Toronto Public School.
I love school, being school captain.
When did your name get announced? Were you surprised?
Yes, I was.
In your speech, why did you say people should vote for you? What qualities and what do you do that makes you a good school captain?
Because I feel like I'm a very good role model around school, very nice to help people out.
As captain, Jamal regularly presents in front of the whole school.
The waterways, the land and the sky and all who inhabit this place, country. We acknowledge those ancestors and elders and recognise those who...
It's something Shanna never expected for her son.
I just wanted him to start kindergarten and make some friends. I actually wasn't really focused on the learning side of it. I wasn't too fussed. As long as he sort of had a friend, somebody he could come home and talk about, being invited to birthday parties, that's something that I think a lot of parents like myself struggle with, is when children aren't invited to birthday parties because they may not fit into that space.
And how proud are you of him?
I'm really proud of him, yeah. He's had some big achievements and big growth, and he's really insightful and beautiful, and he's empathetic. But he's a good advocate that everybody on the spectrum isn't one way. You know, all children on the spectrum might get cranky or angry, and he's quite fierce about the fact that that doesn't represent him.
Jamal has always attended mainstream schools and moved to Toronto Public in year four.
Public schools are inclusive, so everyone is welcome.
That's Toronto Public School Principal Kim Witt. She says the school is well equipped to support Jamal and his needs.
We make sure that our teachers have got the tools and strategies that they need, and we accept that all children present with different needs. And that's why we talk about working as part of a team, to work with the parents, because all children on the spectrum are different, and to work with the students themselves. And then just individualising learning goals and social goals and whatever it may need to be.
Shanna says the school's support has been immeasurable.
Yeah, so it's just sort of embedded with the staff here. It's not something that I'm coming to them with the strategies, which is great, because sometimes it can be quite exhausting when you're trying to talk to therapists and, you know, even community sports about, you know, the way that he might respond to things. So to have a space where he just shows up and people support him and ask him what he needs from them, I think that's where the autonomy over his growth has come to. And so he'll ask the teacher if he needs it given to him in a different context. And so that's also that self-identity that I'm really big on with him, is that he can advocate for himself, because I'm not going to be there in all parts of his life to do it for him.
Principal Kim Witt says he's an asset to the school.
He's a gorgeous boy. Other children feel safe with him. He's very approachable. He wants to help. He has a very kind heart, but he's also very conscious of, you know, being part of a team, contributing to a team, doing what's right, being responsible and respectful. He's really advocated very well for himself and his needs, and in doing so, has supported other children to do the same.
Toronto Public School Principal Kim Witt ending that story from Keely Johnson in Newcastle. And that's Australia-wide for this Friday. Remember, you can always podcast the show on your favourite podcast app or listen back to the program through the ABC Listen app. You can also visit the Australia-wide website. Just search for ABC Australia-wide. And remember, you can email us. We love to hear what's happening in your part of the world. That address is australiawide.radio@abc.net.au. My name's Gianfranco Di Giovanni, in for Sinead Mangan. Australia Wide will be back with you next week. Ciao for now.